We know that part of our reflections for Good Friday was not only to gaze upon the sufferings of Jesus and his death for us and to learn many great lessons from that personally, how we can strengthen us in our own lives, how we can better follow him, how we can see in his mercy and love that he has done by dying for us, that the great work he has done for our redemption in that effect. But also on Good Friday, we took the time to pause and compassionate the Blessed Virgin Mary, the mother of Jesus, and also our mother too. Tradition tells us, in St. John being given Mary from the cross on Calvary, that also at that particular time, in the stead of all mankind, St. John received Mary too as not only mother, one to care for, but also we too now have that privilege and as well as an obligation. Mentioned as both as those points, a privilege and obligation. Privilege that the mother of Jesus can also be looked upon as our mother too. But as any child toward a mother, when the mother is grieving, we have an obligation there to help to compassionate in her sorrows. I mentioned on Good Friday that compassionating is not just, as the term gives us the idea, of showing compassion, of showing some kind of sorrow in that particular way, some kind of commiseration, as the word compassion gives us the idea, but also in some way to actually comfort the Blessed Virgin Mary, to actually in spirit be there with her. You know, in our prayers, our meditations, we can actually do such a thing. Even though time for ourselves has the great enemy, if you will, that we are not there physically there, but even spiritually, God can take those prayers, those opportunities, those times of love that we wish to show forth to the Mother of God and our Mother, and that by compassionate with her, by being close to her, by comforting her in her sorrows, it's a great work that we could do as children of Mary and children of God to accomplish such a great task. Well, the Church calls us to extend those thoughts again today on the Feast of the Resurrection. No, we're not compassionating her in her sorrows. Those sorrows have now gone away. She has known from Jesus, she's known from the very moment that she accepted to be the Mother of God, that these days would come, the days of great suffering would happen as Isaiah had foretold. She knew that in accepting to be the Mother of God and to have him born into the world, what the redemption would be, the cost at the life of Jesus, but also for her own sorrows. But she also knew from what it is had been said, both from the prophecies as well as what Jesus would have talked to her about during the hidden life, and even the words that he had spoken frequently to his apostles, that he would die and on the third day he would rise again. So this sorrow that she would have to endure, she knew he had to see her son die in this way because it was the command of God the Father. She accepted that, and in that accepting won a great role for herself in the works of the redemption of mankind. But afterwards now, the joy of hers, knowing that her son would be risen, even through all these great sorrows that she has suffered, knowing that this great joy would come to her, seeing this would be a great time for rejoicing with her. Tradition tells us, it's one of these Jerusalem traditions you often hear me speak about, that in Jerusalem they keep the tradition that the first one that Jesus actually appeared to after his resurrection was to his mother. It's fitting that that would happen. He would go to console his mother. And then afterwards, later on, as we read the gospel stories through the week, and then from even up to next Sunday, we see that by Easter Sunday evening, he is there visiting with the apostles in the upper room. St. Thomas is not there. And through the week, he sees the apostles at different times and other disciples too. And then by the following Sunday, Thomas is there and he's with the apostles all together. But the first of the ones he sees is his mother, then Mary Magdalene, and then the rest. He does this to comfort his mother, comfort her in a great way that he could not do from the cross. He comes to encourage her, to give her that human strength that any mother going, seeing such grievous torture to a child, would have to endure in such a great way. But the Church now bids us, as we comforted her in her sorrows, and being with her, been a companion to her in her sorrows, the Church bids us in a great way now, through various times of prayer during this Easter season, to be now with Mary in this time of joy. This is that Regina Caeli that I was referring to earlier, the Latin, the Queen of Heaven, rejoice, that particular prayer. It is now on the lips of the Church in so many different times. It replaces the Angelus prayer, So at 6 in the morning, noon, and at 6 o'clock in the evening, instead of saying the customary Angelus prayer all the way through this Easter season, at that time we now replace it with the Queen of Heaven rejoice, Alleluia. He whom thou didst make worthy to bear, Alleluia, hath risen as he said, Alleluia. Pray for us to God. We're addressing these words to the Virgin Mary. Pray for us to God, Alleluia. Rejoice and be glad, O Virgin Mary, we say with that prayer, for the Lord is truly risen. Not only is that prayer now replaced the Angelus, but in times of the divine office, this prayer occurs every evening at the close of the divine office after Compline. The prayer also occurs at several other times in the course of the liturgy. As I mentioned earlier, it seems to be one of the more favorite of the hymns, of the Latin hymns that comes forth in the chant that we have to sing now after Easter. The church rejoices in the fact that Jesus has risen from the dead, but also the church does not want us to forget Mary. Mary and her sufferings. Again, that time, at Good Friday, we are there to honor Jesus, to compassionate him in his sufferings, but also to honor our Holy Mother and compassionate her. Now, on the Feast of Resurrection, we give gladness here because Jesus has risen from the dead. The Mass for today, the prayers of the Mass of the day, and on forward in this particular way show to us the glory given to Jesus Christ because he has risen from the dead. And thank him for such this great power that has taken place. But again, the Church also bids us come to Mary and say words of rejoicing, words of uplifting words, if you will, as if at this point, just as we compassionated her sorrows on Good Friday, we now on this Easter Sunday and throughout the entire Easter season now come to her and say, rejoice, O Mother, Queen of Heaven, my Mother too as well. Rejoice, your Son has risen. And he has risen as he said. You know, that's another message of the entire Gospels of the Easter season. Jesus foretold he would rise, and he did. He was truly dead. And he came back to life, not by someone else coming to his tomb, but on his own power. This is what's reminded to us in the gospel stories, and it's again reminded to us as if we are reminding Mary of these things. You know, it often happens when we give words of consolation to one another. Many times also we're comforting ourselves, trying to strengthen ourselves so we have the strength to give comfort to another. These words of the Regina Caeli, as we say, Queen of Heaven, rejoice. He hath risen as he said. Pray for us to God. They are words of encouragement to Mary, but also back to us. He has risen as he said. He had predicted it. It's a thought the church wants in our heart all the time. The world is out there to doubt what Jesus has done. Don't watch Discovery Channel and whatever they want to tell you about everything but the resurrection. They'll come up with a new excuse every year to tell you that the resurrection didn't take place, or if it took place, it happened this way, all these things here. An unbelieving world is going to come up for every excuse it can have to continue its unbelief. But people of faith know differently. People of faith know that Jesus truly did die on the Calvary. He truly was buried in a tomb. And on the third day, according to what he said, he did rise again. He did so because he foretold that. It is a proof that he is not only one who can fulfill the prophecies that he says, but if in those prophecies, in the course of his teaching, he tells us that he is God, the Son of his Father, who is God in heaven, then he must be telling us the truth. This is why we're going to read the epistles of St. Paul coming up in the next few days and on, that this whole mystery of the resurrection is one of the greatest things that strengthens our faith. If Jesus is not risen, St. Paul tells us, your faith is in vain. It's useless. But he is risen. He is risen. He has risen. It gives us great hope. And with that hope, with that love for Jesus, that love for his mother and ours, we now approach her with this prayer. But again, it seems like we are also giving consolation to ourselves, strengthening our own faith in times like this. During this course of the Easter season, beginning now and going and lasting all the way, in fact, all the way up until almost this Pentecost Sunday, and all this particular time here that takes place, as you have the opportunity to recite the Regina Caeli, the Queen of Heaven Rejoice prayer, keep these thoughts in mind. Don't just make it another mumbling of words. Every day as you recite this prayer, every time you do that, Make these words of comfort to Mary. Be as a good child to your holy mother. Comfort her, because her sorrows were great on Calvary. Her joy is great now. If you comfort Mary now, you know, God promises us that he will not be outdone in generosity. We do anything for him, he will give it back to us 100-fold. Imagine what happens when we comfort the mother of God. A good son, seeing his mother treated in such a loving and respectful way, will surely bring blessings upon those who give that comfort to his mother. Boy, such wonderful thoughts that can come with us. When we pray this prayer now through the Easter season, keep these and many other thoughts in mind. It will give not only comfort to Mary over time, comfort to ourselves and what we pray, but it will strengthen our faith, the faith that we need to be so great, so strong in the world today. Pray it in that way, and God will give much grace every day of our lives. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.